with you some things that's on my mind this evening. These are not the messages that I had prepared for Sunday. I felt like the Lord told me to hold, so I have sought forth to see what God would want me to share this evening. And again, I want to talk about an element of prayer as well as another element of seeking the Lord's face. I think that God is a God that wants to reveal Himself to His people. If you do remember when Adam and Eve was in the garden, we've said this many, many times, that God came down and walked in the cool of the day with them, and they had sweet fellowship, sweet communion. But not only that, we see where that relationship was severed. And you know the rest of the story, that Jesus came to be the mediator. The Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. The Bible also teaches you and I to seek the Lord. The Bible says for us to seek the Lord first before we do anything else. I don't know about you, but they tell me as you get older, you don't need as much sleep. I don't know if that's true or not, because I catch a lot of elderly people sleeping a lot. So I know that they're sleeping sometime. I don't know when they need it or whether they get it, but I do catch people sleeping every now and then. Now, I don't know how old is, and I don't know how young is, and I don't know how old you have to be elderly, but I do like a nap every now and then. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I've found that myself waking up most mornings around 4 o'clock. I lay on the bed, just sleep. Sherry's awake most of the time. We just don't talk. I just don't want to talk at 4 o'clock. But I lay there and I think about the Lord, and I think about Scripture, and I think about sermons and messages. Most everything I preach shall becomes to me about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not joking. I'm really serious about that. Then I normally get up early, and I say early 6:30, 7, most likely 7. And then I try to write notes and I try to think and process before I even get out the day. And I told on Horace a couple of weeks ago. Horace taught me how to do something wonderful since he retired now. He still works, but he's retired. He calls it blending. And I have found out that I enjoy blending of the morning sometimes with a cup of coffee. And Sherry would say, "Alan, you just told a fib. It's a pot of coffee. It's a pot of coffee." She said, "I might get one cup out of it." And I sat there and drink coffee. And I got two Boston Terriers and a golden doodle on my lap. And I think about the good things of God. And one of the things that keeps resurfacing in my heart over and over and over again is the simple fact that we think that God is hiding from us. And some people, I know Tommy Tenney years ago talked about in his book of how that God plays hide and seek with people. You know, the little hide and seek game with kids. He was teaching his 6-year-old daughter how to play hide and seek. I'll go hide and you come find me. And then he makes mention of that in the book, of how that it's almost as if God's playing hide and seek with us. And the point of his book, before I get into this message, is simply this: that when you seek God, you can find God. And when we don't find God, when we don't know where God is, it's when we're not seeking Him. And I believe that God even now wants to reveal Himself because of what God has done through His Son Jesus, that God said in His Word that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men would come to repentance. I'll say it like this, that God wants you and I to find Him. The Bible reminds us to seek Him that we might find Him. Isaiah said that. Seek Him while He may be found. And I believe that this is the day, and I believe this is the hour that God is calling the church to find Him. And again, everybody's going to talk about all kinds of stuff on the news. They're going to talk about COVID. They're going to talk about riots. They're going to talk about the disunity in our country. Some people might even want to talk about a Chinese spy balloon every now and then. I don't know what people want to talk about. But I don't get wrapped up in a lot of that stuff because I want my mind to stay in seeking God. And again, people say, well, you're just too up into all that religious stuff. And I've always clarified this. I said, I don't want to be all up into religious stuff. I want to be all up into Jesus stuff. Jesus is looking for relationship. And it's always been that way. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at Joshua. Look at all the Old Testament saints all the way through. Every one of those situations was about God wanting to find relationship with His creature, His creation. So in the Psalm 84 is where we're going. We've actually talked about this psalm before. But this psalm was a manifest, if you will, of words that was put to a psalm of some type. I don't know the hymn, I don't know the tempo, I don't know the sound, but the words were put together and it was a psalm of the yearning for God. I don't know where any of us are this evening, but I want to just walk through a few verses of this psalm with you this evening. And if there's anything that I would like to plant into our hearts this evening, it's simply seeking God while He may be found. And this particular psalm starts off that way. And once I tie it all together here at the end, you'll understand a little bit more where I'm coming from. So before we do anything, stretch your hand this way and pray for me this evening. So Father, we come tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, God, to love You. We come tonight, God, to honor You. We come tonight, Heavenly Father, asking You, Lord God, to touch us in this room tonight. We pray, Father God, that You would speak to us. Help us, oh God, this evening to hear what the Spirit of God says to the church today. Father, help us, oh God, to set our eyes once again upon You. Set our counsel upon You that we might learn from You, Father God, this evening. Speak to our hearts tonight, God, and help us, oh God, even in times like this, God, that we would hear from You. And God, I pray that as we look at this psalm this evening, God, that You enlarge our hearts this evening. God, that we would find place for You in our lives today. Father, we give You all the praise and the glory, the honor for all that has been done here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This psalm has been associated not only with a song, but it's also been associated with a prayer of the musicians that was there, and it was written for the sons of Korah as an anthem and as a song. But yet it's also being looked at as a prayer. I know we talk about prayer a lot, and prayer is more than giving God your wish list and saying, here it is, God, and fill it for me. What I believe that we often miss in prayer is something that is very much important. Prayer has been described is a full spectrum of the expression of the human heart, if you will. When we think about prayer, it's the greatest thing that God ever gave to you and I was the ability of prayer, the opportunity of prayer. It is through prayer that we get to know God, also through His Word, and we'll talk about that at another time. But it is the opportunity for human beings to get to know the God, the creator of the universe. When we begin to look at this element of prayer in this particular psalm, it was a prayer of an anthem, if you will, one of adoration. It is one of divine intimacy that takes place between the creature and the Creator. And again, that's one of those wonderful things that God has enabled us to do, is to be able to have this wonderful thing called prayer that we can interchange expression to the God that created us. There's about 10 or 12 different things that can be defined as an expression of prayer. We think about prayer, like I said, only handing God our to-do list, like God is at our service like a butler. But my friend, it is far, far different than that when we think about the love that is developed in a relationship that you and I can have when we begin to have an intimate encounter with God Himself. And that's what I really want to try to get to this evening, is because God is so real, that God is tangible. We talked about that on Sunday, that you can know God and God can know you. And somebody said one time, how do you know this infinite God? How can you really know that He's there? And those of you that know, you can tell me that this evening, because you know He's in your heart. You know Him, you feel Him, you sense Him, and you know He's there. You know He's abiding in you, and you're abiding in Him. And you know that without shadow of a doubt. So there's about 12 different things that's being described as an expression of adoration in prayer. And that's what I want to talk about here in just a few moments. Again, prayer is often described as in all we express to God. Prayer is often described as in all that we express to God. Prayer includes different expressions. Praise can be associated with prayer. You can look at all of these through the Scripture, and I didn't take the time to break all of that down, but follow me through this. Because when we praise God, we magnify God. It's a communication factor between the creature, if you will, and the Creator. So again, prayer can be classified as a praise unto God, a supplication, if you will, or worship unto God, thanksgiving unto God, intercession, adoration. It can be associated with shouts of joy, if you will. It can be associated with one lifting their hands in an act of surrender, a yielding of the person, if you will, bowing or honoring or exaltation. Or it can also be those moments of intimate affection where you turn your affection towards God, more so in repentance or surrender or dancing. We don't talk about that much, but dancing to God, and also in mourning or contemplation, spiritual warfare, if you will, or in declaring in prophetic utterances who God truly is. So when we think about prayer this evening, when we think about prayer, we think about prayers that reflect upon the beauty of God. Now, we don't think about it in that way very much, but this psalmist begins to have a reflection of who God is. And I don't know about you, and sometimes we like to do all the talking instead of sitting quietly in God's presence and actually just taking the time to meditate on who God really is. So this particular psalm, excuse me just a minute. This particular psalm is a psalm of expression. So when you look in Psalm 84 and verse number 1. Psalm 84 and verse number 1. When this particular psalmist began to write this, he began to write this psalm as a worship psalm, a way of expressing his heart unto God. It would be like you and I saying to God, how lovely are you, Lord? How admirable are thy tabernacles? Commentary talked about the tabernacles of the Lord, the inner court, the outer court, the different tabernacles that was around the Holy of Holies, if you will, that when the psalmist wrote this, now watch this, this is very important, that when he began to write this, he broke it down in verse number 1, how admirable it is, how lovely are thy tabernacles. Why is that important this evening? Because as the psalmist began to write this psalm. In Psalm 84, watch this. It was there in the tabernacle in the Old Testament that the tabernacle was associated with God's presence. Amen. If you and I in the church, if we do not love God's presence, we will never have a desire to be in God's presence. And the psalmist had experienced, no doubt in my mind, they had experienced the glory of God and the manifestation of God as the Shekinah glory came down above the mercy seat, and how that the priest was there, and how that they would take the sacrifice, and they would put the hyssop upon the doors of the tabernacle. And they knew that it was a time that God had atoned their sins. And I don't know about you, but any time I think about the grace of God anymore, it just about makes me shudder on the inside. It's because except for the grace of God, where would any of us be? And then he teaches us this, and he writes about this. He said, how admirable, he says, are thy tabernacles. Again, this word tabernacle, it talks about the dwellings where God would come down and God would dwell among the people of Israel. And it was a reflection of the presence of God. So we open this evening, and prayer reminds us when we come into God's presence, we come in prayer, that it reminds us that we can go into the presence of God and God Almighty now, just like they did in the Old Testament, except now we go through His Son Jesus. And Jesus is doing our bidding now. And Jesus is standing there before the Father, the devil, and the enemy of our soul, who is the accuser of the brethren, is standing there accusing the saints and accusing the brother. Our elder brother Jesus steps up and says, no, that one's mine. That one's mine. That one's paid for. My blood paid for that one. How beautiful, how lovely. The word admirable there, it means how lovely, how lovely. The question this evening is this: do you and I really love to pray? Do you and I really love the presence of God? Here's the thing that sometimes disturbs the preacher, because if people really loved God, they would come to church and they would be where God's presence could be. And I'm not saying you can't get God's presence on a bass boat. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that God said, come to my house and my glory will be revealed when you come. Amen. There's a difference. Somebody says, well, I go walking in the woods and I feel God on Sunday. Praise God and good for you. But there's still something about coming together in God's house and being together in the environment like this. Amen. There's a whole thing these days of how, and I'm not blaming COVID. I'm not blaming that at all. But there's a whole spectrum of people today that are absolutely, totally against building buildings and doing things. And I don't even want to have that argument with nobody. But God said in His Word how lovely it is in thy tabernacles. It's good to come into God's tabernacle, into His house. There's something beautiful about corporate worship this evening. That wasn't even in my study, by the way. But we think about it. We think about here this evening, He says, how lovely this is. And again, when we think about it, it was an expression. When you begin to look at this, He says He remembers the habitation. And we'll get more into this one in just a few minutes. But we think about, again, where that the psalmist here was remembering the tabernacle. Isaiah reminded us, in thy tabernacle, the heavenly host. In the tabernacle of heaven, the heavenly hosts, the angels, they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When we see that in the book of Isaiah, we see the angels crying, holy unto God. We see in the book of Revelation, we see where the elders, they were there and they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Again, when the psalmist wrote this, no doubt in my mind, he had a holy experience with a holy God, where the Shekinah glory had came down in the tabernacle. And my friend, let me just say this, that there is nothing that will ever replace the moving of the Holy Ghost in a soul and in a life that changes that life for all eternity. And it happens in God's presence. So he remembers this. Again, the Lord of hosts. He remembers the God of heaven. He remembers and he reflects. And he reflects upon that God is the champion of heaven. Amen. That God is the all-efficient God. And it's like when he talks about, O Lord of hosts, and the commentary mentioned it like this. He said, when you begin to think about the dwelling place of God, and when you've tasted and seen the goodness of God, and when you've been to the tabernacle, but yet you've been removed and you're no longer there in the tabernacle and you're no longer in God's presence. One of the things that the commentary pointed out was simply this, that when I am separated from my God, I kind of get love sick. You know what I mean? I get love sick. There's something going on the inside of me that draws me back into His presence. And if there's anything that I could say to the church tonight is that, God, we are love sick for You. We are love sick for Your presence. And God, draw Your people back to You and give us an earnest and a desire, God, to be in Your presence. I don't know about you, and I don't mean to get all preachy y'all up in here tonight, but there's something in the church today that we need to pay attention to, and you may disagree with me, and that's perfectly fine, but somewhere along the way we have grown cold. Somewhere along the way we don't care if the glory shows up or not. Somewhere along the way we got cold in our heart. We don't care if the presence of God shows up or not. As long as we come in and ring the bell and say we're here, that's all that matters. But my friend, if you've ever got a hold of the glory of God, if you've ever got a hold of the presence of God, your heart will burn within you until you return into His presence. And I'm saying, oh God, tonight move us. Shake us one more time, oh God, here at this church. And I can't talk about another church in this area nowhere. I want to talk about this one. I say, God, shake us one more time until we long to be in Your presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm different. I know I'm different. I like running aisles, and I like shaking and the quaking, and I like all the moving and all the things that goes along with that. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. Running an aisle by itself will not ever replace the true presence of God that showed up in here Sunday morning when the Shekinah glory of God begins to come, and you can feel the thickness of the presence of God in the room. And I felt that Sunday morning in this room. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you want it, you can go after it. This psalmist, he began to have this love sickness. It's a longing. It's a declaring. It is a longing to be with God. Then we begin to look at this verse number 2, and he says it. He said, my soul longeth. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for Your courts, for the courts of the Lord. Again, my heart longeth. Lord, I long to be in Your presence. When you look at this in verse number 2, he says, for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. In other words, everything within you, and the word that comes to my mind, it reeks. Everything within you is a desire, and there's something inside of you that you long to be in the presence. This is the psalmist, and the psalmist was saying, I know what it's like to be in Your tabernacle. Now, I'm looking at it from the outside, and I'm looking in, and God, I know that Your presence is on the inside of the tabernacle. Oh, God, my heart and my flesh cries out for You, the living God. God, would You not come down one more time and touch Your people like You did in days of old? And I'm saying, God, would You touch Your people one more time? But I believe that my people, when we pray and we seek the face of God and we begin to have a desire within our heart and an earnest in our heart to be in the presence of God, and we are sincere and we're not willing to stop until we see the glory of God revealed, I believe that true revival can come again to a local church. Amen. I heard it said years ago, David Griffiths, who used to be our youth director international years ago, he served on the executive committee and was one of the general overseers and secretary treasurer, and now he's sort of semi-retired. I remember him preaching one time at a youth event many, many years ago. He said he grew up in West Virginia. He said he grew up so far long back in West Virginia. He said we used to have these things called ice trucks. Anybody remember ice truck? I don't. Who does? Somebody remembers an ice truck. It'd bring ice. It had big blocks of ice, and they'd bring it. He said those things would run and deliver ice to people's homes. And he said one of the things about an ice truck, he said they were cold. They were icy. They were cold. He said they were drippy. They were wet. And they were sloppy. An ice truck come up the road and nobody went out on the front porch and said, "There comes the ice truck." Said nobody would do that. Anybody ever see anybody do that over the ice truck? Jesse, one time. He get cooled down. Well, you're one of a kind. But you let the wire.
Had a wooden ice box.
Right. Did you run it down? No, not normally. Jesse will. My point is this. This is David's story. I'm just repeating it. But you let a fire truck come down the road. And everybody wants to rent on front porch. Anybody ever seen a fire truck go down the road and you just about have to break your neck to see where it's going? You let a church get on fire and you don't have to worry about the attendance. I've said it before. You build people and you don't have to worry about attendance. You let a church get on fire. You let a church get on fire in revival. Hey, you don't have to worry about counting noses, because the noses will come. People will come. And you know when they come, they're not going to come to see who's sitting next to them. Come on, somebody. They're not going to come to count noses. They're going to come for one reason. And Sherry and I, years ago, we drove from Waynesville. We drove to Marietta, Georgia. We drove through Atlanta traffic on Friday afternoon. We drove all the way down there and spent Friday and Saturday. Drive all the way back for church on Sunday. Why? They had this thing called Friday Night Fire. We were driving all the way through Atlanta traffic to go put ourselves intentionally in the middle of an outpouring of God that was the fire of God. Genuinely, not, it was a real deal, folks. I remember it 20 years later, but my friend, I'm saying that to say this, that when a church gets on fire, that I believe that God will send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west, simply because people today are hurting, their bleeding, they're dying. And if there's anything the church needs today, is a church on fire. The world needs today is a church on fire of the Holy Spirit of God. Dennis McGuire, one of our former general overseers, many of you know Dennis McGuire, said that a world in crisis needs a church in revival. If there's anything we need in the church today, it's revival. But it'll never come until we get hungry for God. This psalm is a portrait, again, because he begins to say this in number two. He says in the latter part, he said, my soul, my inward man, longeth, yea, even fainteth for courts of the Lord. The courts of the Lord was the presence of God. Now watch this. He said, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. What does that mean? My heart and my flesh. And he talks about the heart and the flesh. If God can find your heart, God can make up the rest with his anointing. Somebody say amen right there. He says that my heart and my flesh cry out for the Lord. In other words, he was simply saying this. It is out of my innermost beings. It is something on the inside of me. Something in the innermost being, the inward part of who I am. And we see this again. He says, crieth out for the living God. I don't know about you, but God's got to be more than a fad. Come on, somebody. God's got to be more than just fancy songs and fancy shoes. Come on. God's got to be more than just putting on a suit or wearing blue jeans. God's got to be more than that, friend. God's got to live on the inside of us, and God wants to burn on the inside of us. God wants to know you on the inside. And we desire on the inside. He said that my heart and my flesh, they cry out for you, the living God. Living God. And don't get mad at the preacher. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for religion. Just going through the routine for the sake of going through the routine. And I'll be honest with you. There have been times that I've done that. There have been times you've done that. There have been times that we've done that. But what we really need is still a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something that cannot be put on paper, that cannot be choreographed, that cannot be planned, that it is just a pure move of God. And that's what I pray. Nothing out of order, nothing that's crazy, and nothing that's just stupid stuff, excuse my expression, but just stuff that don't make no sense at all. I'm not going to stand up here and crow like a rooster and do flips and all that just to entertain people. That's not what I'm talking about. I've heard all that stuff. But you know when I believe, Brother Don, that it's really a move of God? I'll tell you, bottom line, this is not my notes. You can go look at them. It's when repentance takes place. When brokenness takes place on the inside of a person. When we begin to see tears stream down people's face in repentance for they finally realize their condition of their life and their condition, this absence of God. Hello? And I believe this evening that that can happen. I believe that we can start seeing these things happen not only on a Wednesday night, but I believe we can see it on a Sunday morning. I believe that we can see that. So we can see that he says, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. What is he saying? He says, we're going after God. Wouldn't that be awesome if a church made up their mind? We're going after God. It may not look like what it's looked like in the past. It may not be what we've always done. You know the definition of insanity, don't you? Hello? Always doing things the same way and expecting different results. And somebody says, well, it worked back then, it'll work now. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We live in a different day. And I don't even want to get into this, but I'm going to say it. The message will always remain the same. The methods may change. Methods have to change. Because we're not dealing with young people today the same way that you dealt with young people in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and 90s. Kids are so different. So different. You got to do it a lot different with our young people today. But in this he says, my heart, my flesh, cry out. Chase God down. Chase God down. When we think about that, we think about what the rest of this actually says. He says in verse number 3, he says, yea, the sparrow hath found her house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Several things come to my mind when I begin to think about that. He said, even the sparrow has found a nest, a house for herself. I'm not a bird. What's it called? I can't think. I know what it is, but I can't think of it. I don't study birds. I like to watch birds, but I'm not one of those birdologists, whatever they are. I remember it, but I can't think about it right now. Huh? Well, that one right there. I'm not a bird person when it comes to that. But see, I've been around enough birds at my house, and I've nested enough birds, and I've fed enough birds. I even get fussed at it every now and then for putting bird seed on picnic tables on the back porch and making a mess. I've been guilty. Don't tell her I said that. But anyway, a bird won't nest where they're uncomfortable. A bird won't nest and lay eggs over there, Letha, talking about, it takes me a minute, talking about bluebirds. Do you know if you build a bluebird nest, it has to be built to certain specifics or they will not nest in that box. It has to be perfect to their specifics. And I said that to say this. The psalmist says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself. If a bird comes to a nest and it has to find the conditions of that nest in perfect order before it will lay its eggs in that nest. Now think about this. This is the comparison. Do you not think that how that God comes and finds his house, that where God will dwell? And the psalmist was saying in this, he says, even thine altars is a place of God. The altars are a place of God, a place for people to come and find God's presence. He said, O Lord of hosts, my King. And he talks about this of our hearts and the altars being a place that God will come and dwell, and God will come and, let me use the word like this, nest. Even though God is not nesting, it's a place that God can come. A bird must feel comfortable in her nest. It's a place where God can come because God has been made welcome. How long has it been since we, the church, let God know that God is welcome to dwell here? Now let me move fast. I was going to try to get through 10, and I don't think I'm going to make it. And he says here again, O Lord of hosts, he says, my King, he says, my God. In this scripture here, we see verse number 3. It says, it talks about of how strength through him. We find our hearts. We find a home in him. We find a nesting place in God. We find that place in God that God satisfies the hungry, if you will, that he satisfies the thirsty. I thought about the scripture that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me run through this really, 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 really fast. Verse number 4, blessed are they that dwell in the house, they will be still praising thee. There's a Selah after that. What does Selah mean? It means to meditate. It actually means to pause and think about it. Think about what the scripture says. And in this, he begins to say this, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Do you want to be blessed? And he talks about, blessed are those that dwell in his house. I believe it's time to return to God's house. Not only just to God's house, but in his house is where his presence in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's in his house, in his tabernacle. It's in his house where his presence is. And I know now that our bodies is the house of the Holy Ghost. I know that. The Bible says that. We also know that God will not dwell in an unclean temple. Come on, somebody. God dwells where God is welcomed. God dwells where God has been given a dwelling place. God dwells where God has been given a home. And that's where I think I'm going to stop. The rest of that, there's 10. I was going to try to get through verse number 10. But Selah says, Penny, will you play something softly for me? The verse 4 says, they will be still praising thee, Selah. So what does that mean? It means that when God comes to his house, this is the way I think about it. It is not difficult for you to praise God when you know God. It is not difficult for you to magnify the Lord and glorify God when God lives in the temple. Romans chapter 12 reminds us that. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in verse number 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give God a place to dwell. Give God a place to live. Give God a dwelling place. Even the sparrow has found a nest. She's found that place to dwell. God, in this scripture, he said that God is still looking for a place to dwell. Give God the opportunity. Open up your heart and give God. And you say, preacher, what has all this got to do with prayer? Because it's through prayer that we can enter into his gates. And it's through prayer that we can give God the opportunity, and we can give God a place to come and dwell. Again, when you begin to think about this, he talks about in verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Talks about weeping through tears. It talks about finding strength. It talks about giving ear to God. And then he says this in verse 10. And I'm going to be done. I'm going to shut it up right there. Verse 10. He says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. What a comparison. The psalmist said. Remember, Moses said, God, I'll go to Canaan. I'll go where you tell me to go. But God, I don't want to go nowhere without you. Think about that. And then Moses said, Lord, show us thy glory. And I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to me, that I believe that the glory of God can change this city. I believe the glory of God can change his county. I believe the glory of God can change our schools. I believe the glory of God can get the drugs off the street. I believe the glory of God can get people living for the Lord again and get our moms and dads with their children back in God's house. I believe that. I long for that, and I desire that. With all that's within me, I desire that. David was saying in the psalm, for better is a day in thy courts. What does he mean? Better is one day in your presence than a thousand days outside of your presence. Remember David praying in the Psalms as you stand with me? If you don't stand, I'll preach the rest of the night. Psalm 51, where David prayed and David said to the Lord in repentance, he said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. There's something about knowing God's presence and pleading and saying, God, keep your presence near me, Lord. Lord, let me stay near your presence. I'm going to say this and move on. And it's just how I feel as a pastor. It's how I feel in my heart. The church, Brother West, has went too long without the presence of God. And we can take these 25 or 30 people that's in this room tonight and begin to pray for God's presence to return. Anybody ever heard of the term the wooing power of God? It is during those times when the glory of God comes down in a sanctuary that sinners become pew grippers. You know what that is? They grip the back of the pew and they come under conviction. We don't talk about that anymore. I don't even know if we see that anymore. But I know what it is. I know what it is to when a preacher would start through the middle of the aisle and say, well, I hope he don't stop by me because I don't know if I'm afraid he was going to read my mail. You know, Brother West, I didn't want him near me. Now we just don't even pay attention to that. But I'm just saying, God, let your glory come. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Let me just keep your door. Let me just be a door greeter like Richard back there. Let me just open the door. Let me just be near the door. You say, what is that all about? Being near the door. Being near the door of the tabernacle. Just being, God, if nothing else, God, let me just stand at the door of your presence, oh God. Let me just be close enough, God, that I know you're near me. If I'm nothing more than a door greeter, if I'm nothing more than just being able to come, God, don't cast me away. Let me be there, God, in your presence. The devil is a liar. The devil will tell you you've gone too far. The devil will tell you you're too old. Hello, somebody. The devil will tell you that you're too old. The devil will tell you that it's only for another generation, that you've already lived all that you'll ever see. The devil is a liar. I don't think we've seen everything that God has for the church of God yet. I don't think we've seen it. But I believe that it happens when we begin to pray and seek God and say, God, I want you more than I want another drink of water. God, I want you. So, Father, we thank you, God, this evening. We thank you, Heavenly Father, God, for your presence. And we thank you, Father, God, that the time that we've shared tonight, God, they've just been reminders of the reflections of our heart this evening. That, God, that we can come into your presence. And that, God, you teach us in your word that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, God, for they shall be filled. God, you said you would fill us with all goodness. You said in your word that you'd fill us with your presence. And God, we pray for your presence in the church today, God. Hear our plea, God, as we leave this place tonight and we reflect on our own lives and we see if, God, your presence is still evident in our lives today. God, we want you. And Lord, cleanse us and wash us and search us and know us. And God, if there be any hidden sins or things in our life that would keep us, oh God, from your presence, Lord, forgive us. Wash us and cleanse us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would give this church a desire like they've never had before. God, to come into your presence. To see your glory fall in the midst of your people, God. God, to fill the tabernacle of the Lord one more time with your presence. Lord, I pray tonight, God, for Brother Michael Ball coming here in these next few services, God, for revival services. God, not to just check it off of his list. Not to just say that it was done. But God, to surely carry the glory and surely, God, to be a messenger to come and deliver to the church the messages that you've laid upon his heart. And God, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And God, we pray that you give us ears to hear. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 How many of you